your caveman blue because it's time for the Caveman Corner, where we talk football with the young men and their coaches who carry their colors onto the gridiron every Friday night. It's all brought to you by Abby's Legendary Pizza. Now let's head to the Beacon Drive Abby's with Chuck Benson.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Beacon Drive Abby's Pizza. We are just chowing down on some of this barbecue pizza. Hey, listen, barbecue pizza, first time I heard that, I thought, yeah, I'm not sure that I'm going to like that. And then I tried this. And this, it's a three-cheese blended layer with barbecue sauce, chicken, and onions. And the barbecue sauce is aromatic and good and tasty. And I've got football players already chowing down on it. And the big one's only $26.99 here tonight, folks. Wear your caveman blue and your soft drinks are absolutely free with an order. And let's talk some football. Assistant coach Javen Abling has joined us. Javen, welcome to the microphones of KAJO. Haven't seen you. Well, we haven't talked since last year.
Yes,
About this same time.
Yeah, they typically put me down for the 8th grade North versus South game so they can all go watch it and I can be here.
All right, that's where Coach Page is tonight. And we wish both of those squads the best of luck because next year you'll be coaching those young men, won't you?
Yeah, typically I do the freshman offensive coordinator, quarterbacks, and some defensive backs as well.
Okay, let's talk first of all caveman football right now. Big win last Friday night over the Liberty High School Falcons. So, yeah, get right on that. Just shout out on that microphone there. That looked like one of the most physical games that you guys have played this year. Is that accurate? Does that feel right?
Yeah, I would say one of the more physical. I think we also out-physicaled South Medford the week before, which
I don't want to look over
that one because that's the team that typically is the most physical in our conference. But I believe last week was one of the more gritty, hard-nosed, physical games that we had played. We really got downhill, especially on the defensive side. A lot of good plays, a lot of getting down and making tackles lower and stopping them in their tracks instead of letting them drag us for 4 to 5 yards.
No doubt. Now, Rosetta was under the heaviest pressure that I can think we've seen all season last Friday night. Is that fair?
Yes. Yeah, and that's something I give him the most credit for in his game is his composure and his ability to take a couple big shots early on, like in that game like he did. And not start looking at the rush, not start rushing his reads, and not start doing all that, especially playing the quarterback position. It only takes one shot to start getting a little worried and start looking at that rush, and he seemed to be able to stay with his eyes downfield and look through that, even though he did take some shots early on.
I know you've got a little perspective in that, and then you're a former caveman quarterback and a pretty good one, as I remember. What was the game? Sherwood. I remember the Sherwood game. Does that stand out to you, too?
Yeah. First game of the year with a game-winning drive to win by a two with a field goal from, like, 50 yards. It's hard to forget one of those.
Okay. All right. We'll get back into the present. But once again, that just adds to your credibility. You know what you're talking about when you're talking about Mr. Rosetta. He handled it pretty well, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And that was something kind of coming in tonight that I was hoping you'd ask a little bit about that because I think that's the hardest part of playing quarterback. And coming from a perspective of there's plenty of games where I took a really good shot, and next thing you know, you're looking for those shots. You don't want to take another one, and you're looking for, oh, the rush is coming, let me roll out, or let me try to get the ball out too quick. And I think that especially some of the ways that we run mesh and some of the ways that we throw the ball over the middle of the field, being at 6'4 and standing in the pocket when everything, all that chaos is happening, he's able to still make his read. He's able to look past the line. And even though he took a couple shots early on in the fourth quarter, he laid out a couple really good balls while taking shots, and he was able to keep that composure throughout the entire game.
All right. Talking about Mr. Rosetta and that, how is he handling as a sophomore? I think that's what is surprising a lot of people is that sophomore psyche, the young man still fighting into a man's body there, handling that situation, that pressure at quarterback. He seems to be doing it well.
Yeah, I think with Rosetta, and I mean, to be honest, we have a ton of sophomores that are playing a lot of good time right now, and I think that we have built a culture of when you're ready, you're ready. And I know it's sophomore quarterback, freshman quarterback last year, all these things get pushed into that, but realistically, these guys have been preparing like they were varsity football players for a long time now. They have been putting in the effort, putting in the work, and in practice we treat them as if they were senior quarterback, a senior running back. We have a sophomore left guard, we have a sophomore wide receiver that all start, and so at that point they have been in the mentality that I can do this when I get the chance for a long time now, so I almost don't see them as sophomores. It's just really nice to be able to get to have them on our team for the next 2 years after this as well.
Well, at this point, Pardon me. At this point, that you're halfway through the season right now. 5 wins in a row, tip of the hat, incidentally. That's quite a switch from last year, and I imagine the psyche plays through the coaches' psyches also. But halfway through the season here, there are no more rookies out there. Everybody's a veteran at this point. Is that fair?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that a lot of them treated it that way from the first snap they ever got on the varsity field. But even still, some of the guys that are starting to see their way into the field a little bit more because of injuries, because they've worked hard enough to earn that spot. Or I believe that everybody that sees the field on a Friday night knows that they belong there and knows that they belong competing against every team that we play. And that's something that not every single team, not every season has had, is the mentality and the idea that we belong here, that we belong in 6A on this field against Sprague, against Sheldon, against Liberty, all the teams that we play. A lot of times we were just there to run around and hopefully we make a couple plays, whereas nowadays it's like, we belong here, we are the team that's going to win, you have to change our minds.
All right, so nobody's changed your mind yet. You just keep, and I said, it looks like you're getting better every game. Is that also the coach's assessment right now? Are we improving every game?
I believe so. I think we still make mistakes. I think last week we made a lot of mistakes in the terms of penalties and things like that. That can't happen as you get into those Sprague games, Sheldon games, as we get towards the playoffs, things like that, that can take a game and our lead and ruin that. And so there is still some mistakes. I don't want to say that we've gotten better in every aspect, but I think that the offense has gotten better at manipulating the defense. I think that our defensive fronts have got better. We can take on the run better, our tackling and getting lower. Like, there's parts of the game that we have continued to get better and better at. And I think the biggest part of that is just the confidence and that we can do it and we can win. And that has gotten better every game for sure, every time we tack on another win.
All right. Certainly, you've raised a lot of eyebrows, and I'm not sure those eyebrows have been within the coaching staff, because everyone I talk to says they kind of expected to be much, much better this year. Were you expecting to be this much better?
Yeah, and it's hard to say in terms of when you say 5-1, like that sounds like really nice. But if you start looking at the games and you look at our first game against North Medford, I actually believe we should be 6-0. Yeah, and I think that everybody in our program, coaches, players, everybody else believes that as well. And it's just one of those things that until you get together on the field and play, you can say, yeah, I think we're going to be better. But then you start doing it and you start realizing it, and then it becomes this thing where you're just manifesting those wins. And it's like, okay, well, I don't see anybody that can't beat us. Whereas it used to be like, how are we going to win 4 games this year? And that mentality switched.
At this stage of the season, we're 6 games in right now. What's the health of the team? What kind of injuries are we looking at? Is everybody healthy? Where are we?
That's one. And I'm not as tight to know with some of our linemen and things with injuries. But I will say that we did just get a couple guys back that I know were injured last week. And that
Braden is back. Did he go through the protocol?
Yes, from what I know, that he will be on the field Friday night, which is a great addition. A super hard worker. It's great on the interior. Allows us to play some of our interior guys on the edge. And so I will say that our offensive line has been a little bit depleted, but the thing is that every single person that has come through as a replacement has done their job and obviously done enough to continue this 5-game win streak. And so we have had that plug-and-play type mentality this entire season.
Just next man up.
Yeah, next man up. We have a 4-man rotation at the linebacker position. We have 3 or 4 guys that can rotate at the defensive back positions. Our entire wide receiver, I'm sure you see on Friday night, we sometimes sub 4 guys at a time at the wide receiver position because we have so many guys that are ready.
We've got 7 or 8 wide receivers out there who have contributed so far this year.
Absolutely. And I believe almost all of them have caught a touchdown pass at one point or had a big play in the right moment. And so that's where the injuries don't really, it's not as big of a deal when you know you have somebody that can come right in and make the exact same play and knows what they're doing and is just as confident as the number one guy.
All right. I know there's at least 7 receivers have had touchdown passes so far. Does that reflect on Rosetta also as a sophomore quarterback?
I would say yes, and it would definitely reflect on the work of Coach Page, Coach Martinez, Coach Herzog, some of those guys that are coaching the offense. We have a saying at the freshman level that says we go as you go, and that's always talking about the O-line. So I would say that you cannot throw the ball if you can't block. And then I'll build into all of that and say, yes, Rosetta definitely makes his read and he gets the ball to the right guy. But our offense is designed so well to manipulate the defense. Our line is blocked well enough to push the ball downfield. So I'd have to say there's not one single person that falls down on, that everybody as a whole has caused that to have 7 guys having touchdowns.
by and large, and one of the questions I always ask is who's going to control the line of scrimmage? And you just kind of alluded to that. You got to have the blocking order to get those passes off. And we'll talk about control of the line of scrimmage against this next team in a moment or two. But it looked like it was about an even battle against the Liberty Falcons, although they seem to have an edge early, and then we adjusted. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think they came out a little bit more physical on the D-line than we expected. So our run game that's really physical and downhill, it took a couple drives to get that going. But realistically, I think it's one of those things that until you get in the game, you can't see physicality on film. And so they bounced a couple big runs. I think their second play of the game was a big run right up the middle, and like, it took us a second to be like, okay, these guys are going to hit us in the mouth. We're not the only ones that get to throw punches tonight. And we took those shots. We took their best shot right away and said, no, we're actually the more physical team, and we took that back. But I will say that it was one of those things that early on, they were more physical than us in the first couple drives.
Right. They did curtail the running game somewhat. I know Powers didn't get close to 100 yards. Close to 100 yards. I think over 70 is what he had, is what I saw. And I believe I'm correct in that. So they really curtailed him just a little bit. So they obviously had his number coming in.
A little bit, and I think that they decided that was the part of our offense they were going to take away, is that they were going to load up the box. They brought some edge pressure off from their apex defenders, or outside backers, as I would call it. But they were able to say, okay, we're going to stop your run. You have to throw the ball. And then once we started throwing the ball, we were getting a lot more success, which then brought the run game back a little bit. And it's really easy to say, okay, the physicality on the inside is the reason, but a lot of the times it's actually their wide receivers blocking that stopped a one-run play, or 10 guys did their job and the running back missed the hole, or one of those things. And I think that as a whole, we started getting the pieces together in that third, fourth drive, and then once we could run the ball, it opened everything back up.
All right, seemed to dominate all the way through. And I think Coach Page may have been disappointed, because I don't think you scored in each quarter. But it was the fourth quarter you didn't score in. So the margin was large enough by that time that you didn't need it. But
yeah, it's one of those things. We're definitely in, I think, still the top five in the state in offense and scoring, which is beautiful to see. But I think realistically, once we get up in the game and you've seen what you want to see, there becomes a point where it's like, okay, let's get these guys in the game. Let's work on this. Let's see this. And so I don't think scoring is really our focus. Winning the game is. And so as much as he might have been disappointed in the fourth quarter, I think also seeing the guys that got on the field and made the plays. And when you start getting big enough leads, at one point it kind of becomes, okay, do we really need to score this touchdown, or are we just rubbing it in?
Yeah, exactly. That's all. I think the first time we talked to him this year, he says, I want to score in every quarter.
Okay, yeah.
Well, that's an admirable ambition, but I can see where in the fourth quarter you wouldn't mind as much. Were there mistakes made that you could be correcting that concerned the coaching staff after the game, or at this stage of the season? Are there areas that you need to shore up?
I think that our tackling is still too high, if I'm going to speak from my own. When you say that the coaches see, I'm just going to speak from what I see. I think that it becomes where when you go to tackle a guy for a 2-yard gain, but you grab him around the shoulders and he drags you for a 6-yard gain, you're now in 2nd and 4 instead of 2nd and 8. And as an offensive-minded coach, I know that's a huge difference. And so the one area that I think that we can continue to get better at is just tackling lower, is stopping those runs for 2-3 yards instead of 5-6 yards. And then just from last week, like I said, just the penalties. Penalties are a huge thing. And it doesn't really hurt you when you win big games and when you're in the lead a lot. It comes back to haunt you when you do it in a super close game or a super hard-fought game like I could see us being in on Friday.
All right, here's a question that I'm not the only one who's asking it, and so let's jump right into it. There were some chippy times in last Friday's game, and I can certainly understand that. These are young men, and they bumped heads pretty good last year, and I think some of our cavemen wanted to give back a little bit. But the real question comes with the stoppage of play and the conferences on the field between all the officials and all the coaches. Before this year, I don't think we've ever seen that happen to the extent that we're seeing it now. We saw that 3 times last Friday night. We've seen it 5 or 6 times already during this season. Are the officials geared to key on one thing, and are they being instructed to handle it this way, or is that something that you can you have an answer for right now?
Yeah, that would be something I would have to tell you to talk to an OSAA official to officially know exactly what goes on, especially because I'm up in the booth. I'm not a part of that conversation. I do know that they have been very proactive in the language that is being used. Especially being a part of the high school, being part of the OSAA, there are certain languages, just racially motivated, sexually motivated, all of those things that the refs are very proactive in stopping right away. And I think that if they are told that something...
So just bad language will get you noticed.
I believe so, yes. And again, some of those conversations are had that I don't know exactly what the wording is that they are using. I think that they are just being very focused on the fact that they are not going to allow it. And so once they get one single report of it, they pull the coaches out. They try to get it handled right away. I'm not sure exactly why we had so many meetings last Friday night. I know most every other game we've had one single meeting. It's been handled. I will always back my boys and say that we teach them the right way to speak, the right way to handle things, how to win classy. But again, that's something that the refs have to take, and it's one person saying one thing and another person saying another thing, and they have to treat it the way they have to treat it.
All right. Well, fair answer, and thank you. I appreciate that, and I'll certainly pose that to Mr. Page next time we have a chance to talk, which will be Friday just before the game. So we'll deal with that then. In the meantime, we've got a fairly big game coming up here, too. The number 5 Sprague Olympians are coming to town. They are undefeated, but they just beat South Medford by 4 points. When I saw that score, my jaw dropped because that was on their field. What are you guys thinking about this this situation right now? Did Sprague have an off night? Did South Medford have a great night? Or is that an accurate reflection of what's going on the football field? Do you have a feel for any one of those scenarios?
I actually got to watch about 3/4 of that game. They played on Thursday night last week. So on our 5-hour bus ride back from Liberty after our freshman game, I got to watch the game. And all of us coaches were watching, kind of texting in the group chat. I actually think South Medford had an off night. I think that they had 2 or 3 chances to win that game pretty easily. And so I don't know if that means Sprague was really having an off night. But in my opinion, watching that game, South Medford could have easily won that in multiple different ways. And I just think from a coaching standpoint and player standpoint, watching that game just gave us ultimate confidence that South Medford, like I said, was a very physical team, and we showed them we could be more physical, and I felt like they out-physicaled Sprague. And that's what Sprague has been known for all this year. And so I think that watching that game gave us a lot of confidence that, again, it's that mentality, can we do this? And I think that all of us believe that we can and we should. I don't think we're the underdog coming into this game at all.
Okay, well, we'll talk more about the Sprague Olympians when we come back right after this 1-minute caveman timeout.
This is Lisa from Kelly's Automotive Service in Grants Pass in Medford. A woman was traveling on I-5 recently and started hearing a noise. She was, of course, worried about hotel and repair costs, but it turned out to be a simple issue, and we got her back on the road with no charge, a bottle of water, and some snacks. Well done, Grants Pass. This is exactly what it means to be good stewards. Dave and I are so proud of you. Kelly's Automotive Service, where we service your vehicle, but take care of you.
When you support local businesses, you help support local teams. Your friends at Farmers Building, Feed, and Garden Supply, your local do-it-best store in Grants Pass, are proud to support the Grants Pass Cavemen and Lady Cavers. You'll find us proudly sitting on the 50-yard line cheering for our football team, as well as our color guard and marching band. We at Farmers are proud to support our Grants Pass teams this year and can't wait to cheer them on with you. We'll see you at the game. Go Cavemen!
Welcome back, everyone. Glad to have you here with us at the Beacon Drive Abbey's Pizza. It's the Caveman Corner right now. We're chowing down on some of that barbecue chicken and onion pizza with 3 layers of cheese on it. It is good. And we'll let Mr. Epling get into it just as soon as we get to the break here. He's drooling. At any rate, we've been talking about the Sprague Olympians, 5th ranked in the state. Undefeated. They've looked like a juggernaut, have put up bigger scores than the Grants Pass Cavemen have so far coming in. But suddenly, they're looking like a beatable team, and we've got them on our floor. What do we know about that team specifically? Are we talking about individuals?
Yeah, and I focus largely on their offense. I will have to say that I watch very minimal parts of their defense. In terms of their offense, they have a really big, physical, downhill running back. He's number 10. I never treat anybody with names. I always know numbers because it's just another number on a football field. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter if you know him personally. He's number 10. But he's a very tall guy. He gets downhill, and he's somebody, when I talk about having to tackle low, if we don't hit him low, he's going to carry us for 5-6 yards. The quarterback has a really strong arm, but I think realistically what Sprague does the best is they make you play sound football across the boards. They'll screen over and over again if you don't get wide enough on the outside, and then as soon as you're triggering too fast, they'll fake the screen and they'll go deep with it. And then they'll jet sweep a bunch, and as soon as you're reacting to their jet sweep, they'll fake the jet sweep and go power. And then everything they do has a good counter behind it. So realistically, what they do well is that they force all 11 players on the field to do their job right every single play. And as soon as one of them doesn't, they score. And they also do a lot of trick plays, and they love it.
All right, Johnson is the tailback. Or Johnson is the running back, I think. That's number 10. Witherspoon is the quarterback. They've got a receiver out there who's pretty good, too, correct?
I believe so, number 6. Like I said, you can say names all you want. It's just another number on a football field to me.
No, he's got one of those names I can't say.
That helps.
Buy a vowel, for God's sake.
Yeah, number 6, definitely a athlete on the outside. And the thing that I think that we have been the best at this year is that we have been faster and more athletic on the outside than all the teams we've played. And that's something you can't always say about Grants Pass football. And so I think this is the first time that for Sprague, they're finding a team that can match up with them on the outside. And the first time for us that we have to match up with another team that's as fast and as strong as us. So I think that number 6 definitely is a good athlete, good target. I have not been afraid of anybody beating us one-on-one all year, and I don't think I am still going into this week.
All right, well, your secondary, your safety, in fact, your safeties have been making more tackles. And does that concern you at all? The safeties are the leading tacklers on the team?
It doesn't. That just means we're doing our job when the ball gets to us. Obviously, you would rather have the linebackers and the linemen making tackles, but we also like to run a what's called a bear style front, in which our safety is playing as a defensive end. So when you talk about our safeties leading in tackles, it's not all the time that they're back 12, 15 yards. They're still making plays at the line of scrimmage. Especially if you're looking at, I think Kingston might be the leader in tackles at the moment. He gets downhill.
Bassett was, but I haven't checked.
Ooh, okay. So Bassett is the one that plays a lot more downsides towards the line of scrimmage. Yeah. And he's also is the weak side safety. And so when you get, he is basically a linebacker at that point. And so it might look on stats like, okay, safeties are making a lot of tackles, but realistically, a lot of those are at 5 to 7 yards, which is their job and what they're supposed to do. That just means that we're tackling them when they get to us.
Okay. All right. Good job. Do we have an edge on the Sprague Olympians? Is there one area you can point to where we really own them in this category?
I think on the interior. I think they have a couple sophomores that start in the offensive line. Like I talked about getting Carlson back. And allowing us to, and we actually, Braden O'Brien coming back as well in the last couple of weeks, we are starting to get picked back up on the defensive line and being able to move some guys to the interior that normally play on the end and do some more things with stunting. And I really think that they are going to struggle to run the ball in between the tackles, which is their favorite thing to do. And once we get them in that, they're going to have to throw the ball, and I think we match up well doing that as well.
That's one thing that I was not expecting to hear, was that you feel like you got an edge on the line.
Yeah, it is one of those things that they're known for, as being physical and running power. I don't think that they're big and strong as we are, and I think that we can do enough with our fronts and our front seven that I think we're going to stop them at what they do best. And once that happens, you never know what an offense has to go to move the ball.
Well, our offense has been explosive. Nobody's been able to stop it. They may stop a driver, too, but eventually Rosetta finds Brevik Hill or one of the other young men or Hart flying down the field. So our offense is probably going to score. I think we can probably score on anybody. The key is we can't let them outscore us. And if our defense is up to par, and it looks like it is improving every week, write it down. Caveman should come away with a win this Friday night.
Yeah, I think our golden number on the defensive side is 28. We typically try to aim for that number. If we can hold them under 28, I think our offense is good enough to beat anybody. And I think that comes down to getting a couple stops and taking our chances when we get those turnovers. I think we've dropped a lot of interceptions this year. If we get one or two of those and we can hold them under 28, we win this game easily.
It looks like you're getting more and more turnovers every week. And
yeah, we are starting to learn how to catch the ball on the defensive side, which helps a little bit.
Okay, all right. Who was it? Was Zach just was thrown one the other night, just dropped it?
Yeah, I think there was one. South Medford, I think, was the game, or South Salem. Yeah. We dropped 5 interceptions as a defense, and we had 0 interceptions at the end of the night. And so one of those, after that, we learned how to catch the ball.
Okay, because I know he was talking to himself after that one. At any rate, I want to go in just a little bit different direction, because I know you've seen Gavin from when you played, and a couple of years here, and a tough year last year, and the year this year, and there's some differences there. I think I'm talking about team attitude or the atmosphere around the team that seems to be different this year. It seems to be elevated, whatever that means. What's your perspective there? What is different this year that has elevated that mindset that says this is caveman football again?
I would have to say the kids. And I know that's, I'll put it this way. I think that our, as coaches, that last year we did exactly what we're doing this year. We did everything correct. We did everything right. We pushed the kids in the right way. The offense was designed in a very good way. I liked the defense we ran. I don't think that everybody bought into the culture and the program. That is the way that I would put that. I think this year, the same kids that were in the same system with the same coaches, all of that stuff, it's not like we brought in somebody new or these new players. It is the actual mentality that, hey, this coach knows what he's talking about. Hey, this culture, this Grants Pass football, this idea and environment around caveman football, which, as you've been around and I've been around it, is a huge deal, that everybody kind of actually bought into that. And they had the mentality that what the coaches were saying and what we were putting out in the world was the truth. And that if they buy into it, if they do it, that success will come. And it's about the process. It's not about just wanting the success. And so in terms of this year, that's different than last year. I think that the kids bought in and the kids understood and believed. And once we got a couple wins and they saw that the process was leading to those results, I think everybody bought in a lot quicker. And so I think that the kids really made this team this year.
Does that go back to the senior class, or are there other people involved?
I think that it's all across the board. Being a part of the freshman staff and the sophomores that are there, I think that we have a very good culture at the sophomore level. I really like the we brought in Coach Herzog at the JV level, and I really like what they're doing, and the kids that have stepped up into varsity roles that played JV knew what they were doing, were coached really well. And then the senior class and everybody below them is just bought in fully to what it is that we're trying to do. And that's all it takes sometimes. It's just a mentality thing. There's not a better player. There's not more speed. There's nothing different besides the fact that we believe.
All right. Now, you deal with the freshmen primarily. And then there's the JV team. And I hear good things about both particular squads right now. Is that environment trickling down, or is it trickling up, or is it just straight across the board?
I would say straight across the board. I think as the freshmen, we're broken off a lot from the varsity, and so there's not a lot that we hear from Coach Page, but everything that we do is built with his mentality, with his verbiage of what he's trying to learn. We might run different plays, but we still call the route that he runs the same route, so the kids next year know what it is. And so I would say that's an across-the-board thing, that we all live up to what he wants, his message, the all-in, one family, and everything that he's putting across is all across the board. I think Matt Kennedy does a really good job as our head freshman coach. I think Luke Herzog does a really good job as a JV coach. And we're all just trying to do what Brad is putting out into the world, and that is to be a true, back to the 1980s, caveman never surrender, hold on to all of that stuff, because caveman football means something in this town.
Well, you lived it. There's no doubt about that. Now, about the freshman team, I hear there's a running back down there that's pretty quick and elusive. Is that true?
You know, I'm going to repeat the we go as you go. I think that he usually doesn't get touched until about 10 yards down the field, which helps a lot. But, yes, we do have a very good stud in the backfield, number 16. So far, we're undefeated at the freshman level, and I think we're doing things the right way. We, the same thing that we preach at the varsity level, we win with class. And I think that whether we have them, whether we don't, we'd be 6-0, and we'd still be learning the same way. But I can't just pretend like we don't have a stud in the backfield at number 16.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much for that. What I'm hearing is the future looks bright ahead, both for the JV and the freshman feeding this varsity program right now. How far ahead can we expect this next year, or can we expect more?
What, go ahead. You know, I'll put my own head on the line here, okay. And I will say in the next 4 years, I believe we win at least 2 conference championships, if not more. And that is without going into anything besides that, that is how I see it. So I would say it would continue building from here and go forward.
Okay, all right. Well, that sounds good to me. We'll take that ride along with you there. We're talking with Jabin Abling, assistant coach for the Grants Pass Caveman here. We're coming to you live from Abby's Pizza at the Caveman Corner. Stay tuned. News from the Salem Radio Network is next, right after this little interlude here. And we'll be back and talk with some of Jabin's players right after news at the 7 o'clock hour. Once again, you're listening to KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon.
To the Caveman Corner, brought to you by Abby's Legendary Pizza. Here on KAJO Grants Pass. The Corner continues after national news.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters reporting. Mexico's ex-public security chief is sentenced to 38-plus years in the U.S. for taking cartel bribes.
A U.S. court has sentenced Mexico's former public security chief to more than 38 years in prison for taking bribes to aid drug traffickers. He was convicted in 2023 of taking millions of dollars to protect the violent Sinaloa cartel. The 56-year-old Genaro Garcia Luna was considered the architect of ex-president Felipe Calderon's bloody war on cartels. He was also hailed as an ally in the United States fight against drug trafficking. But prosecutors say that in return for millions of dollars, Garcia Luna provided intelligence to the cartel and the safe passage of massive quantities of drugs. I'm Haya Panjwani.
A full-scale replica of the annex where Anne Frank and her family hid from Nazi occupiers during the Holocaust is heading to New York. Correspondent Donna Warder reports.
In 1942, Anne Frank, a 13-year-old Jewish girl, and her family went into hiding from Nazi occupiers in the annex of a home in Amsterdam. They and another family stayed there until they were discovered in 1944. Now an exact replica of the annex is being built in the Netherlands. It'll be shipped to New York, where it will be on display at the Center for Jewish History in Manhattan. And on display will be photos, albums, and one of the yellow stars the Nazis ordered Jews to wear. I'm Donna Warder.
As the presidential race moves into its final weeks, Democrat Kamala Harris and Republican Donald Trump have embarked on an interview blitz that has offered new details about their policy priorities and their political strategies. On Wall Street, the Dow by 337 points, the NASDAQ rose 51, the S&P advanced 27. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My debt problem started probably about 2016. I needed my life to change financially. I called Trinity, and I ended up joining based on high credit card bills and high interest rate. And my counselor at Trinity has been great, and Trinity has been helping me to get on the right path of paying off these credit card bills, bringing down the interest rate. They have consolidated my bills into one low monthly payment. And now I am finally getting out of credit card debt. So I just want to say thank you, Trinity, for showing me a better and greater path.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Sharon, and soon I will be debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
Farmers, Building Feed, and Garden Supply, your local do-it-best store, is where people go when they need expert advice and quality products. Grab a 30-inch leaf rake from Do-It-Best for just $11.99, regularly $16.99, or the Do-It-Best brand 22-inch steel leaf rake for just $12.99, regularly $19.99. And you'll need somewhere to store those leaves and needles. Grab a Do-It-Best Roughneck 32-gallon black trash can with lid included for just $22.99, regularly $25.99. And make sure you line those cans with Farmer's Ruffies 20-count 42-gallon trash bags. Get one box for $17.99. or two for $23. Farmers is full of friendly people to give you all the how-tos on all your projects. Be sure to like and follow them on Facebook and Instagram for even more great deals. You'll find Farmers right where Dow Road meets the Redwood Highway. Why do it better when you can do it best with Farmers Building Feed and Garden Supply.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Caveman Corner here, coming to you live from the Beacon Drive Abby's Pizza. We're talking pizza. We're talking spuds. We've been talking with Coach Jabin Abling. And, Coach, you brought some young men with you.
Yes, sir. I brought a junior in Ty Dungy, a junior in Jet Stewart, and a junior in Ashton Park. And I almost...
You got to give him another year.
I was going to call him his little brother's name, too, so I would have messed it up even more. But a senior in Ashton Park.
All right. Hey, Coach, thank you very much for bringing these young men. We appreciate it. First of all, guys, congratulations on a great season so far. And, of course, we're not done yet. We got a ways to go yet. So let's talk about, first of all, the game last Friday night against Liberty. You all played against Liberty last year, I assume. Tell me, was there some payback when you got onto the field against the Liberty Falcons last Friday night, Ashton?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we know as a team that we should have beat them last year. We were pretty beat down about the results of the season, and I'd say most of the team was pretty out of it. And this year, we've got a much better team aspect, and we came together and we knew we were going to win this game. Before we stepped on the field.
Before you stepped on the field. It was decided.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. How did it go the way you expected it to go?
I would say so, yeah. I mean, I think we could have put 60 up, but, you know, we had to be a little... We had to be respectful and we just run the ball in the end, you know.
What did that that game mean to you in particular, just last Friday night?
I mean, it's not a huge game to me, but it's always nice to beat people up north, but of course your conference wins like your Medfords and your Roseburgs, not Roseburg anymore, but you know, those are more meaningful to me personally.
Oh, all right. Hang on. We'll be right back. All right. And it's Jet Stewart. Have I got that right?
Yes, sir.
All right. How to jump right into that microphone now. Tell me how you spell your first name.
J-H-E-T-T.
And it's pronounced Jet. I want to get it right.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Tell me what that game meant to you last Friday night.
It meant a lot to me, mostly because last year I was a sophomore. I was swinging up and losing in that rainy weather, an away game, seeing all the people I look up to lose and, like, how much it meant to them, especially in the playoffs, seeing all those seniors. That was their last game ever. And seeing all the juniors last year come back and making a name for ourselves, really, because, I mean, it was a small game, but last year it wasn't like that, you know, so it's nice to come back and get our revenge.
And then, of course, there was a long bus ride after that, too, so.
Yeah, a lot to think about.
Okay, all right. All right. Ty Dungy, did you get that right? All right. Ty, what did that game mean to you on Friday night?
That was a really big game for me personally. That was the most I've played this season. I had my best game of the season. Last year when we played Liberty, I didn't get in a whole lot, so I mostly just watched. I was on varsity as a JV, mostly. So, I don't know, felt good to beat Liberty this year.
All right.
Nice.
Well, any win really feels good. All right. I'm going to come back to Ashton here. Let's see. You're a senior, so yes, how is it working with these young men who are underclassmen? I'm not sure who is what right now, but I know. Are they both juniors or sophomores?
They're both juniors.
Both juniors. All right. How do they measure up as a senior?
They've been doing great. Honestly, the sophomores and juniors have done a great job in completing our team, and I feel like our seniors have done a good job of bringing them along. I feel like in years past it's been more like kind of beating them down and kind of like I'm above you kind of mentality, and this year
seniors rule, but it's this year it's everybody's game, huh?
For sure. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Tell me about last Friday's game. Now, what position do you play?
I am a Sam or Will linebacker, which is more of an inside linebacker.
Okay. So that means that you're into a lot of contact.
Yes, sir.
All right. Tell me about the contact.
Well, I mean, it's a pretty physical side of the ball. I mean, they say you got to be a little crazy to play defense, and I'd say even more crazy to play linebacker or D-line.
All right. What do you like about it? I sense that you like it.
Oh, yeah.
All right. What do you like about it?
Well, I just love that you're kind of the mic of the field a little bit. You've got to be able to identify run, but you also are a big play in the pass game. So I just love that piece of it. You're involved in the entire aspect of the defense.
All right, what about the contact?
And then contact, of course. you're
he just smiled from ear to ear, folks. You can hear it on the radio, but you really got to see it.
Yeah, it's great. Getting that big pop in the backfield or something like that, a one-on-one tackle, it's...
Yeah.
Nothing beats it.
Yeah, they ought to make those backs pay to get into the football game.
Of course.
All right, okay. Do you have a specific role on the team this year as a senior. You're not one of the captains, but you're a senior in a leadership role. What do you take on the field if you're that key in the backfield?
Yeah, I'd say I've been a pretty good leader. I wasn't voted captain in the beginning. I am captain for this week. I've taken on that role for this
congratulations.
Week.
Congratulations. I didn't get that word.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. So I feel like I've definitely stepped up to that task, and they told us in the beginning, even if you aren't a captain, to continue to lead, and I feel like I've done that this season.
Okay, well, we'll get back. All right, Jet, tell me about your assignment for this Friday night.
Well, I was playing fullback and line or D end. I just switched to D end after my injury, and I mean, it's really nice getting the lead block at fullback. Just feeling like you have a role on both sides of the ball is always nice because it feels like you're changing the game. Mm-hmm. And
all right, tell me about your injury. You okay?
I fractured my spine, and I have something called a pars defect, and I got cleared to play on it, but I'm probably going to have to get surgery after the season. But I'm doing just fine. I recovered. I was did everything they told me to do.
You look like it doesn't bother you right now, but does it affect you mentally?
It did. It really did. It did for like first after I learned about it, like first week I was like really thinking about it. But like I just had to get back in the game. It's the only way to really fix things nowadays is just jump right in. Like after I came off my injury, I just wanted as many reps as I could just to get that feeling of contact back after being gone for 2 weeks.
All right. Well, let me see. I understand that you're listed on the roster, I think, as a running back and a defensive back.
Defensive end and a fullback.
Defensive end and fullback. Which do you like the best?
Man, I've always had a heart for defense because I've been doing it my whole life. But it's nice to be fullback just because.
All right. The fullback these days is more of a blocking back situation.
Yeah.
You don't get to carry the ball that much as they used to, but occasionally. So that's got to be a fun part. But I think some of us at this table agree that defense is fun. And defense, laying a back out is
yeah.
that contact really is a satisfying situation. So tell me, what is the best part of the game for you?
I think the best part of the game for me, it might not even come from the game itself, but it's like just being around people that I feel like are family, and I can trust, and they'll always have my back for like anything, really.
What's the atmosphere like around this team now?
It is the best like environment I've ever been around in sports, actually.
Really?
It's like everybody around me I could 100% trust with anything. Like I could come to for anything. And it's not something I've had for football or like any sports really, but I think it comes from coaches mostly giving us such a safe space for like being together and being a team.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Jim. I want to move on to Ty here. Ty, we've got you on the end here, but tell me about what your goal is this coming Friday night.
My goal this Friday is I'm playing linebacker, and I really just need to fill the run. They're going to run a lot of, like, power and probably some counters, so I really just need to be fast to trigger and make some good tackles.
Okay. We hear that this team is pretty physical. Are they? Do you expect them to be as physical as the Falcons were last Friday night?
We don't expect them to run the ball as much as Liberty Falcons did, but we do expect them to be
very physical. They've got a kid who can throw the football there, too. The Falcons, I don't think, did.
But, yeah, Liberty did not really have a able of a quarterback as Sprague does, but yeah, Sprague's got a pretty big quarterback. They got lined up in the backfield there, so yeah.
All right. What do you like about the game? What's your favorite part of it?
Favorite part of the game for me is probably the atmosphere. It's like when you're playing the game and it's kind of like everything kind of tunes out for a moment and you do something and reality sets back in, and well, if you did good, everybody's cheering for you, and if you did bad, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's a reality set sometimes.
So how does that tune-out work, particularly at Mellingham Field? Because it's got to be loud out there.
It is a very loud field. It's probably the loudest field I've played at. I mean, yeah, it is. And the tune-out...
We hear that often, yeah.
Yeah. And the tune-out's kind of like when the ball gets snapped, I mean, you got to read your keys, and right after you read your keys, it's kind of like that's all you're focusing on is is the game. Nothing else. Everything's kind of gone.
All right. What's the best part once you read that key? Filling a hole? What? Making that tackle? The contact? What do you like?
The best part is probably when the gap opens up and it's just you and the running back and linebacker, and you just got to make a play one-on-one. That's probably the best.
All right. We got two guys here nodding their heads. So everybody seems to like defense here tonight. So, all right, defense rules. Defense wins championships. All right, Ty, when you're not playing football, what do you do?
When I'm not playing football, I like fishing and hunting. Those are probably my two biggest hobbies.
Really?
Yeah.
It's deer season. How you doing?
I haven't been successful this season yet.
Have you been out?
I've been out every weekend so far.
Oh, yeah? Where are you going?
I like to hide my spots.
Nobody's going to give me a hit on this, all right. Do you hunt with a firearm or a bow?
I use a rifle, yeah.
Okay, what kind?
I use a 6.5 Creedmoor.
Oh, okay, why?
I don't know, the precision for it is there, and it's kind of like a lighter round, and I've been able to shoot it since I was about 10 years old, so.
Oh, okay. All right, you got to have a favorite fishing hole then, too.
Favorite fishing hole? It's got to be the bottom of the Hellgate Canyon. I'll give that one away.
Oh, okay. What do you fish with?
What do I fish with?
Yeah.
Predominantly spinners, and, you know, you got to throw a bit of everything, fishing on the rogues, because a bit of everything in the river.
Find out what they're looking for that day?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Now, when you're not fishing or hunting or playing football, do you play other sports?
Yeah, I do basketball and track.
Oh, okay. And basketball. Tell me about basketball. What position?
Basketball, I play post. Mm-hmm. I'm a little small for post, but yeah, it should be physical now.
How tall are you?
I'm about 6 foot tall.
Okay. I've seen 6 foot post players play extremely well, but it takes technique and focus. Tell me about the technique and focus it takes to be a post guy with your size.
With my size, I just got to be really physical. I'm usually leading my team on rebounds. The skill there for me, not really allowed to shoot that much. I'm mostly in the paint type of guy. Rebounds, pass to my guards, and I just like the nice paint work and finish the post.
Are you a good passer?
I'm a very good passer. That's a big part of my game.
What's the key to rebounding?
Key to rebounding is just to get physical. You got to get on a body.
Okay, so you like physical football and basketball. Okay. When you're not playing sports or working out or fishing or hunting, is there something else you like to do? Tell me about school.
School, I'm a 4.0 student. I'm a National Honor Society, so I do pretty well there. I don't know, I kind of enjoy school, get around your friends all the time, but I'm kind of looking forward to graduating, though.
Okay. Long-term plans? I know you're a junior?
I'm a junior, yes.
Junior, okay. Any long-term plans yet?
I don't entirely know what I want to do out of college. Probably something in the trades after college, but, yeah.
Okay, well, what do you want to do in college?
In college? If I could go play football somewhere, that'd be pretty cool.
Oh, okay. Wave your magic wand. Where do you want to go?
Where do I want to go? That's a tough question.
You got a magic wand.
Oh, sorry. I don't know the answer to that question yet. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, we know where Jet wants to go. He's making a big O right now. He's got the O on his chest right now. Yeah. Okay, now, did Coach Lanning do the right thing with his 12 men on the field play?
Nah, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay. All right. Jet, what do you think? Did Coach Lanning do the right thing with his 12 men on the field play?
I don't really think so.
Okay, Ashton, same question, man. Everybody's got to weigh in on this one.
Hey, man, it works.
Well, yeah, that's what I said.
They won the football game.
He planned ahead. He outsmarted everybody. Yeah. And then the NCAA comes down and says, well, we can't do that again that way.
Right.
So they've readjusted how it's interpreted and how it's the penalties are assessed with that one. So anyway, we'll be talking about that one for years to come, I'm sure. All right. Let's move back to Jet. Jet, we didn't talk much about you outside of football, so tell me, first of all, about school.
School, I mean, I've never really been, like, a big school guy, to be honest. I've always loved having my friends, and I've always loved just, like, learn new things, but, like, same time, it's still school.
Yeah, it's a classroom. I want to be outside of a classroom. Yeah, I understand that perfectly. Long-term plans, though. Wave your magic wand. You got another year of high school yet. So what do you want to do after that? Or go ahead.
I'd like to be a teacher. I want to teach, and I'd like to coach football too. Coach sports.
You want to coach sports and teach? What do you teach? What would you teach?
I really like English. Like, I've always just had a thing for that. And
really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you want to teach English and coach sports? How are you going to get that done?
I gotta keep my grades up and march my way through high school.
Okay. And you got to march your way past that, too, into some secondary education in order to teach.
Yeah. All right.
Any place you'd like to go? Hold up that big O.
Anywhere that would take me, but, I mean, obviously, if I could play football in college, I'd take that any day.
Okay. All right. All right. And when you're not in school and not studying, not playing football or any other sport, what do you do for fun?
Man, I'd be hanging out with Todd Dungy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Will he take you hunting?
One of these days, man. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Me and Ty Dungy, we'd be thrifting and...
We do a little bit of everything.
We're like a chain link. We're always together, man.
So you're bros, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. All right, let's come back to Ashton here. All right, Ashton, tell me about school.
Yeah, I'm also like a 4.0 student. I'm going to be going to college somewhere this next year. Last time I was on here, I wanted to be an anesthesiologist assistant, but now I'm...
Radiology.
Now I'm thinking more radiology or some kind of physician's assistant.
Okay. In order to get there, what's the plan? Because as a senior, you must be thinking about that right now.
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely on the forefront of my mind. I'm trying to balance the experience side of college with the best college to go to for price and for what I want to do. So we're kind of trying to figure that out, working that out with other colleges. OIT would probably be the best route for me financially and educationally, but, you know, got a couple offers from some Hawaii schools. So
which Hawaii schools?
Hawaii at Manoa and Hawaii Pacific.
Okay.
So, of course, that catches any young kid's mind.
Well, why is that? Have you been to the island?
I went on vacation a couple years ago, my freshman year. But, yeah, I mean, I've just gotten a few emails and letters in the mail.
All right. And how did they find out about you?
I couldn't tell you.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And Jet's saying he's strong. Is that what you're saying?
Very strong man.
Is he one of the? All right. Tell me, how strong are you? How do you stack up with the best on the team?
Well, this guy on my right, Jet, is definitely stronger. He's in the 1,000-pound club.
He's in the 1,000.
Oh yeah.
You're not in the 1,000-pound club.
No, no. I'm just outside the 800. I think I got 785 or something like that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Only 785. Okay. All right. All right, gentlemen, we're going to take just a little break. We're going to pause, everyone. We've got three high school football players here for the Grants Pass Cavemen. We'll be back with more right after this one-minute caveman timeout.
Ben Franklin once said, "When the well is dry, we know the worth of water. A sputtering faucet from an underperforming well makes it painfully obvious how important water is. Many could say when we learn the worth of water, we understand the importance of a good well driller. To get the best water supply, you need to hire the best. And that's Clouser Drilling. For new construction, deepening, repair, cleaning, decommissioning, or diagnosis, contact Clouser Drilling or visit clouserdrilling.com. Serving Southern Oregon since 1971.
Tired of driving down that rough and bumpy driveway?
Let Moser Paving smooth out your driveway with grading, gravel, and some smooth and beautiful paving. Moser has been paving the way since 1965, so call the company that does it all. Utilities, demolition, leveling, rock deliveries, and of course, paving. Call the pros at Moser Paving, 479-2424. And don't forget to call Moser for your next rock delivery. That's 479-2424. Remember, 479-2424.
Okay, I got caught with one of the Abbey spuds in my mouth here. And we've got a couple of pieces of this barbecue chicken and onion pizza, and it is luscious. If you've not tried the barbecue, folks, do it. Absolutely. I apologize. Not very much, but I do a little. Okay, all right. Once again, I promise not to talk again with my mouth full. All right.
Give me a prediction on what's going to happen with this football team this year. Tell me about your goals and what you really expect to have happen. First of all, Ashton.
Well, I think going into the season, we thought we were going to have a pretty, like, we were going to have a better season than last year, but not what we're going towards now. I think if we play perfectly, the only one that could really stop us is Sheldon right now for the rest of our schedule. I think Sprague's going to be a shootout this Friday. It's going to be neck and neck, but I think we'll come out on top. And then West Salem senior night, we'll definitely come out on top there. And then playoffs, we'll just have to see.
Okay, are we talking 8-1?
Yeah, I'd say 8-1 is definitely seems doable.
Okay.
For us.
Do you guys watch the standings and where you're rated? Do you check that on a? No, the coach says he doesn't do it because he just does one game at a time. All right, tell me about the players here. Do you guys know what's going on here? Check the OSAA website, find out if we've gone from 19th to 14th, which we've done.
Mm-hmm.
Do we check that on a regular basis?
Oh yeah, yeah. Every right after our game, we're on OSA. We're like, did it change? Did it change?
All right. Well, we do too with the same.
Oh, yeah.
The same thing. What do you think of the playoff system this year? You've got the top 12 teams playing for, I'm not sure what kind of championship they're talking about, and then after that, it's the next 16 teams. Right now, you're at the top of the 16 team situation, and that would mean a home game. You advance much further, and then you might be on the road. And of course, if you win them all, we'll just cruise through everything and take all the accolades. What is the team psyche right now, Ashton?
You know, I think a lot of us enjoy sitting at the top of the second bracket because, you know, I think we go very far, and like you said, we get a home playoff game, maybe even two. But of course, like there's pride in going into the top bracket. I mean, you're playing with the best of the best, but also, like you said, it's a lot harder to advance when you're competing with teams like Lake Oswego, West Lynn, Central Catholic.
Yeah, and there are reasons for that. We're not even going to get into it tonight. Jet, what do you think about the season ahead right now? What are you looking for?
I think we could really just win it all, to be honest. I believe in my team. I believe just the sky's the limit with this crew. Like, I believe everybody beside me could do something great this year.
Ah, all right. Well, you got to be part of it. What are you going to do great?
What am I going
to do? Set for yourself?
I mean, just now switching positions from linebacker to DN just a couple weeks ago, it's hard to be amazing at it, but I feel like I've done pretty good.
Well, you've obviously adapted pretty well. Your coaches seem to think so.
Yeah, I mean, really, like, one thing I've always lived up to is if a coach wants me somewhere, then I'm going to do it, and I'm going to try to give it 100%, just because if they want me there, they want me there for a reason, you know? Like, they know more than me.
Yeah, okay, well, great attitude. All right, Ty, tell me about what you think of the season this year. What lies ahead for the Grants Pass Cavemen? Where do you want to go?
I want to go to the real playoffs. You know, you got to play the best of the best to be the best. So, I don't know, winning the Columbia Cup or the second 16 would be cool, but I want to go run it with the big dogs, the top 12. Well, that's better.
Okay. Well, in order to get into the top 12, you got to get into the top 6, and you're playing number 5 on Friday night. So that's a first step, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Actually, the top 5, I see they're 5th ranked. That's the coaches' poll. I think they're about 7th or 8th in the OSAA poll, something like. Are they 5th in the OSAA poll, too? Okay, so they're 5th in both polls. I've got it right here under my elbow and can't even look. So what do you have to do in order to get there as a team?
As a team? Yeah. We just need to play together. We need to play the game we've been playing for the last 5 games. And, yeah, I think if we do that, I think we can beat anybody. Play the game.
Talk about mistakes and discipline.
Mistakes and discipline?
Mm-hmm.
I think we became a very disciplined team this year. Last year, we were on less disciplined side, but over the summer, winter, spring, we've been putting in the work. So, yeah, I think we're pretty disciplined this year.
All right. Ty, what do you – same question. All right.
Me?
Sure, yeah. All right. Did I say – I'm sorry, Jet.
It's all right.
J-H-E-T-T. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we're a very disciplined team. I think it's because of our coaches, man. They – they really cracked down on us and, like, showed us the way and how to play good football. And
okay. All right. All right. Real quickly, Ashton. All right. Tell me about the rest of the season here.
Rest of the season?
Well, yeah. Tell me about discipline and mistakes real quickly.
Yeah. So, I like they said, I think we're a much more disciplined team this year. I don't think last Friday with the penalties represents us as a team. I think we got the refs a little flustered. There was some talk going on, you know, and they were trying to get control of the game. And
okay. All right, gentlemen, I've got music coming up behind me. That means it's time for me to go. I want to thank you all very much. Ashton Park, Jed Stewart, Ty Junge, best of luck. Share that with your teammates and to all of you. We want to tip our hats to Abby's Pizza here for the Caveman Corner. Sure. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you Friday night once again on KLDR for Friday night's game because the Ducks will be taking over KJO. But once again, 98.3 is the place to be Friday night for Caveman football. Good night, everyone.
You have been listening to the Caveman Corner, brought to you by Abby's Legendary Pizza from their Beacon Drive location. You are invited every Wednesday night through football season to join us in the Caveman Corner.